We're going to be in Isaiah chapter number 11. I'm sorry, chapter number 7 today. I'm going to start out in 11 like we did last week, but we'll be in Isaiah chapter number 7. Isaiah 7. I'd like to turn there. As you're getting there, let me pray for us. Oh Lord, thank you for your goodness. Once again, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's a holy word. Lord, let us always let your word stand over us. We're not over your word and judging it, but it is over us judging us. That we always are checking our lives and our actions, our words, our deeds, our thoughts by your word, and conforming our lives into your image. Even as Ruth was reading the Ten Commandments, and we know that you summed them all up, saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Lord, let us always be checking ourselves by that standard, by your canon, your rule of law. So Lord, as we open your word this morning, let it come forth and let it speak to us. Let it speak to our hearts. Lord, let us be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been going through some of these just to kind of keep everybody on track. We've been going through a number of Reformation theses that the Lord gave me probably a couple of years ago. We started on the church has lost her reverence and is therefore an idolatrous church. The church has lost her reverence and is therefore an idolatrous church. As I brought out last week, Isaiah 11 says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. This is, of course, talking about Jesus and the sevenfold Spirit of God that comes upon Jesus and the Spirit that he wants for us. He wants us to continually operate in the sevenfold Spirit of God, in the Spirit of the Lord, in the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He wants us to continually operate in those. But I believe the bottom line is, and quite literally the bottom line here, the fear of the Lord, if we do not operate in the fear of the Lord, if we do not have the fear of the Lord in our lives, we really won't operate in these others. And if we do have any of the others, then we really won't fully operate in those. Knowledge without the fear of the Lord is pretty destructive. In the Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we've got to have as our bedrock the fear of the Lord. And when I'm talking about the fear of the Lord, I'm not talking about simply a reverence, though it is that. We need to revere the Lord. But the fear of the Lord is that place, like Moses, when he came along the burning bush, where in the same time there's this dichotomy where he is shaking in his boots, but at the same time he feels the peace. Where he realizes that this burning bush, though the bush is not consumed, the fire could consume him, but at the same time, he realizes that it's a fire of love. And there's this continual paradox in the fear of the Lord where you know that God is a consuming fire who can consume you at any moment, but out of his love and out of his mercy and out of his grace, he doesn't. And you have to hold that paradox in continual tension to operate in the fear of the Lord. What we started off doing last week, and all this is intro. I'm sorry, I usually don't like to give this much introduction, but I'm trying to make sure we're all kind of going the same direction. we started off and we looked at Isaiah 6, and we said Isaiah 6 is really an outline of what it should be. But then, and that's Isaiah's call. That's when God appears to him. Isaiah finds himself in the temple of God, and he sees the Holy One high and lifted up, and he reacts in the proper way to the holiness of God. And God comes, and he cleanses him and puts upon him the Spirit of God to be able to speak forth his words. But then what we're going to find is in Isaiah chapter 7 through chapter 10 is what happens in the life of Israel when confronted with the same task, basically. How do they react? I remember in 1990-91, you all probably, most of you in here were born then. We have a few of these kids that won't remember that back that far. Saddam Hussein had mustered his army and went into Kuwait. Went right through Kuwait, and all of a sudden, Saudi Arabia is picking up the phone and calling the White House and saying, we've got this army knocking at our door. Would you please help? They knew that they did not have the army to withstand Iraq coming in and knocking on their door. They didn't. They saw what happened with Kuwait. That Saddam Hussein mustered his army, put it on the line of Kuwait, and just went right through. And they knew they were next. So they did what they could. They picked up the phone and called somebody bigger. Right? Good political decision. Would you please come and help? And we said, you know what? You have all of the oil. Yes, we will. So we got a coalition of about 35 countries and came and we stopped Saddam Hussein and Iraq from going any further. We pushed them back out of Kuwait. Ahaz in Judah is faced with the exact same circumstance. If you remember from your history, and we've talked about it before, Israel was divided into two kingdoms. It's a divided kingdom after Solomon. It went to the north. So the Ephraim is up here in the north. Okay, Israel is up here. There's 10 tribes. There's two tribes left in the south in Judah. Ahaz is in Judah. Okay, this is where Jerusalem is. This is down here where you're going to find most of the stuff happening. Up here, you know, in the northern kingdom, this was from the very start, it was really kind of a messed up kingdom. It did not have the Davidic line of kings. It was just one king after the next that one king would rise up and kill the next, and it'd go just kind of tumbled forth, okay? But continually, and almost through the entire life of both of those kingdoms, when they were separate, they were at war. Every once in a while, you find that they got together to try to do something with each other, but most of the time, they were fighting each other. And this is what you find in Ahaz's life right now. Ahaz, again, he's in Jerusalem. Israel has come down, and they've tried to overtake Jerusalem, and they haven't been able to do it. But now the king of Israel up here in the north has decided he's going to get with Aram, the Aramians, and they're going to team up, and they're going to now come, and they're going to conquer Jerusalem. And here you've got Ahaz that's shaking in his boots, quite literally. He's saying, we can't withstand this. Just kind of like with Saudi Arabia. They knew, uh-oh, our time is up. We've withstood them, but now that they've got a coalition, we're in trouble. So what Ahaz wants to do is call up the big boy and say, would you come help? The big boy being Assyria. But Isaiah has a little bit to say on that. It says, now it came about in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, the king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Aram, and Pekah, The son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but could not conquer it. When it was reported to the house of David, saying, "The Arameans have camped in Ephraim," his heart and the hearts of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake with the wind. The Lord said to Isaiah, "Go out now to meet Ahaz, you and your son, Shear-Jashub." By the way, let me tell you what that means. It's Isaiah's sons are very specifically named. Shear-Jashub is a remnant will return. A remnant will return. Okay, so when Isaiah specifically named his son by the word of God, a remnant will return. So when Isaiah goes up to Ahaz, Isaiah is what you're going to see is Isaiah is offering Ahaz one of two paths. And quite literally, he has the word of God in a human form, not like Jesus, okay? But it's the word of God. It's a parable. It's an analogy. He's got his son. A remnant will return. And he has given him the word of the Lord himself. So it's the spoken word. It's the word in flesh form. And it's a two separate choices. Go and meet Ahaz, you and your son, Shear-Jashub, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool, on the highway to the fuller's field. Let me take a couple of these things. I want to explain as you're seeing this, okay? Is in the city of Jerusalem had a weakness. The weakness was it was fed by a stream that was above ground. So somebody, a conquering enemy could come in and divert that water source, and then they're dead because they don't have water. Because you need food and water. They could amass food. They couldn't amass water without the water. So what he's done is gone to the fuller's field, the fuller being the clothes washer. Okay, this is where they, you know, doing all their clothes washing. So he goes to the fuller's field, and he's looking over and saying, okay, how can we shore this up? Isaiah says to him, take care. Be calm. Have no fear. Do not be faint-hearted because of these two stubs of smoldering firebrands, on account of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and the son of Remaliah. By the way, that's an insult. Isaiah's going, I don't even remember the guy's name. He's so insignificant in Israel. Now, remember, like three verses previous, he gives the name. So this is a complete slap in the face to the king of Israel. On account of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and the son of Remaliah, because Aram with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has planned evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and terrorize it, and make for ourselves a breach in its walls and set up the son of Tabeel as king in the midst of it. Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. For the head of Aram is Damascus, the head of Damascus is Rezin. Now within another 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered, that is the northern kingdom of Israel, so that it is no longer a people, and the head of Ephraim is Samaria. The head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you will not believe, listen to this. If you will not believe, you will surely not last. If you won't believe, you won't last. As I said, Isaiah was giving Ahaz a choice. We know what happens with Israel, with Judah, when the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, come in and they conquer Judea. This is the choice that ultimately leads to that conquering. This is the choice. Now, when you look at all the entire history, God gives more choices, and he you know, will give some grace to one king, and then the next king will come along, and yeah, it's not so much. You know, and he'll give a little bit more grace here. God continues to give grace and mercy, but at this choice here with Ahaz, God says it's going to come. if you stand in faith, I'll deliver you. If you walk in faith, if you believe the prophet and what he's saying, you'll stand by the power of God and I will deliver you. If you trust in your own strength, you're on your own and destruction will come. If you walk in faith, I'm going to take care of you. You have nothing to fear. These two guys who are full of fire, they're like a little smoldering piece of branch. If you walk in faith, you've got the God who has the fire of the Almighty, all the power in the universe behind you. If you walk in your own strength, if you call up Assyria and say, hey, would you come help? Go and attack them. You're in big trouble. It's a really interesting exchange here. Remember, God tells Isaiah, you go out and meet Ahaz and tell him this. Then in verse 10, it's an exchange. It's really, really this exchange that you really have to pay attention to. Then the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Make it deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Ahaz is very in arrogance. He quotes a scripture. He kind of thumbs his nose at the prophet and said, you know what, I'm going to quote this scripture and I'm not going to pay attention to you. By the way, there's a huge pregnant pause between 9 and 10. It's like Ahaz did not even acknowledge the prophet. But the Lord God gives him grace. And he says, I'll give you a sign if you'll ask for one. And yet Ahaz says, I'm not even going to ask for a sign. Listen now, O house of David. Is it too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men that you will try the patience of my God as well? Not even your God, my God. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. We can pick up that in a few moments. If we're going to operate in the fear of the Lord, see, fear comes by faith. The fear of the Lord comes by faith. That's it. If you're trusting in your own strength, you won't have the fear of the Lord. But if you're trusting in God and that are full of faith, then you can enter into the fear of the Lord. Now, what Ahaz did is directly the opposite. So I'm going to give you the opposite of how not to operate in the fear of the Lord. And we need to flip that around. Got it? Don't be an Ahaz. Okay? Maybe that's what I should have named the sermon. Don't be an Ahaz. First of all, what did Ahaz do? He didn't receive God's prophet. As I mentioned, between verse 9 and 10, there's this big pregnant pause where Isaiah goes to Ahaz. He meets him. He's got the choices right here. Here's the word of the Lord. Here's what you need to do. Don't fear. Walk in faith. Trust in God. And here's the remnant will return. Okay, the remnant will return, meaning, number one, if you don't choose the faith and fear, you're going to go down. Now, you might have a remnant. God will save a remnant, but you know what? You've got to go through the fire in order to get to the remnant. And that's what the rest of the chapter is about, is that you're going to be destroyed. I'm going to save a remnant. But you know, there's not a remnant when everybody's there, right? And Ahaz did not receive the prophet. Didn't even acknowledge him. So what do we need to do? In faith, we need to receive God's prophets. We need to receive the prophets of the Lord when they come and speak. We receive them as what they are, and we listen. I'm thinking about Huntsie coming. And some of you have been really ministered to by Huntsie in the last several years. What do we need to do? When we come and we say, okay, Lord, this is a man of God. And when he comes, we're going to come expecting to hear. We're going to come expecting to receive. We're going to come and we're going to honor him as the man of God. Let me tell you one thing that we do. We've known Huntsie for, 16 years? Something like that? We've been friends for quite a while. We could just have him come in and say, oh, man, it's good to see you. Give him a great big hug, and we do all that. But, you know, Ruth and I have said we're going to honor them as much as we can. Well, you know, we put together for them just from us, from one friend to the other. You know, we put together a basket for him. We know what they like. In fact, last year before he came, I said, what kind of water do you like? And he said, well, you know, he said, don't worry, I'll drink whatever you have. I said, no, what kind? He said, I like Evian water. I said, but it's really expensive. I said, no worries, it doesn't matter. I want to get you what you need. I want to get you what you want. Why? Because we're honoring the man of God. We could just say, you know, he's our friend. He'll drink our water. I'll fill up a cup for him from, you know, the house, and we'll just let him drink that. But no, we honor them as the man of God coming in. We try to take care of them. We try to, you know, make sure what do you need? How can we be a blessing to you? And when he comes up, he pulls up, and I immediately get out and I say, okay, what do you need in? Let me carry it for you. Why? Because it's not just because I want to be a servant, though I want to honor him as a man of God. Ruth and I did this just recently. We met a man from Australia. His name is John Alley, and he's an internationally recognized apostle. And we met him, and I said, look, I want you to be under your covering. I want to acknowledge you as a father in the faith to me. And when we met them, we took gifts. Why? Because we wanted to impress them. No, it's not about the gifts. It's about the heart. It's about what's in our hearts to go and say, you know, and it's the same with Huntsie. It's our hearts to say, we want to recognize you. This doesn't really do it justice. But we're recognizing the man of God. We're recognizing that person as the man of God and saying, you know what, whatever you have to give, we'll receive. We're just going to recognize you as that man that God has sent. And we're going to do it with our hearts. Like I said, it's not about the gifts. The gifts is just a representation of what is in our hearts to recognize the prophet, to recognize the man of God, to recognize the evangelist. Ahaz, he said, I don't care who you are. I've got a job to do. I'm looking to see how I can shore this up. Didn't recognize him at all. But if we're going to operate in faith, if we're going to operate in the fear of the Lord, we need to recognize the man of God. We recognize the prophet. And we give our hearts to that person. The next thing that Ahaz did not do is he did not receive the prophetic word. He didn't receive the prophetic word. So not only did he not recognize the prophet, but he didn't recognize the prophecy either. Isaiah gives him the choice. If you'll not believe, you won't last. I read one commentator. He said, you know, the way it's put in the Hebrew is really short. It says, he interpreted it, trust or bust. The Lord spoke again to Ahaz, ask for a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Make it deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. Haggai said, I'll not ask, nor will I test the Lord. He thumbed his nose at the prophet. What the prophet was saying, listen now, O house of David. Is it too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men that you will try the patience of my God as well? You see that? Isaiah gave him a word, and he basically said, I don't care. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son. He'll call his name Emmanuel. He'll eat curds and honey at the time he knows enough to refuse evil and choose good. For before the boy will know enough to refuse evil and choose good, the land whose two kings you dread will be forsaken. Refused the prophetic word. Even if he didn't acknowledge Isaiah, even if he didn't acknowledge the prophet, God came to offer him another chance. Said, look, I'll give you a sign. Ask of it. And I'll let you know that this is my word. This is what I've asked you to do. I know it's a big thing for me to ask, for you to just trust in me and not to call up Assyria. To look at these two things, the Arameans and the Israelites on the north, and to believe that I'm going to take care. It's a huge thing to ask. So I will give you a sign if you will ask of it. You see, God, if you will, he's condescending to come and to understand where Ahaz is and to say, look, I'm going to give this to you. And Ahaz says, I don't care about the word of the Lord. I don't care about the sign. I don't care about whatever you have to say. I'm going to do it my own way. See, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So how should we receive the prophetic word? What are we supposed to do when somebody comes in and says, this is what God has? Ruth and I received a word, about 17 years ago? The Lord gave us a word we've been standing on for about 17 years. What did we do with it? We believed it. There was a prophet that came into our church. I think we looked a lot younger back then. It was before kids. And he didn't even know that we were on staff at the church. We hadn't met him before. He picked us out of the congregation. Said, you two that look like you're in love, come here. And we came up, and let me tell you what, he read our mail like nobody has ever read our mail before. We've got it on tape. We listen to it. We still listen to it. We listen to it with our kids because they hadn't heard it. We just listened to it with them not too long ago. What have we done? We've heard. We have taken that word and we've held on to it. And we've said, Lord, it looks like on the outside that there is no way in the world for this to happen. And it may take years. It's been 17 years. And you know what? A couple of 3 years ago, somebody else came along totally. We haven't talked to anybody else about this, but totally said, he said the exact same thing. God came back and confirmed it again. Even if it since it's been, at that time, it was about 15 years since the original word came to us. And we are holding on to that word saying, God, we know there's no way in the natural, but we're going to trust in you. There's no way that this looks like it can ever happen, but we're going to trust. There's no way that we can do this with our own hands, but we're going to trust and have faith. When the word of the Lord comes, maybe Huntsie gives a word to you. Maybe you come up and he prays for you. And he says, hey, look, this is what Huntsie's given us words. And we've done the exact same thing. We've stood in faith and said, okay, God, if you said it, that settles it. You stand in faith. You don't all of a sudden look to your own strength. You don't all of a sudden say, well, you know what, that was for then and this is now and we're going to do this now. No, you listen and you stand in faith and you guard that word. And I don't know what the word that the Lord has given to you. Maybe it's something really general. Maybe it's something really specific. Maybe it's just hang on and you'll see me. Maybe it's, you know what, I'm gonna give you joy again. I don't know what your word is. I know what mine is. But whatever that word is, don't get out of faith. The fear of the Lord only comes by faith. And when you recognize that the God of all heaven has spoken. Then we have no choice but to stand in faith because he's a lot bigger than we are. Ahaz didn't recognize the prophet. We need to recognize the men of God that come along. Ahaz did not recognize the prophecy. He did not recognize the word of the Lord that came. Instead, he still chose to go in his own strength. The result is he didn't receive God's protection. Verse 17, the Lord will bring on you, on your people, on your father's house, such days as never come since the day that Ephraim separated from Judah, the king of Assyria. In that day, the Lord will whistle for the fly that is in the remotest parts of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. Notice, you know, God's saying, you know, these guys are, they're tiny compared to me. And I control them. And I'm bringing them to you. They will all come and settle on the steep ravines, on the ledges of the cliffs, on all the thorn bushes, and on all the watering places. And that the day the Lord will shave, listen, the Lord will shave with a razor, hired from regions beyond the Euphrates. That is with the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the legs. They will also remove the beard. This is utter humiliation. Complete and total humiliation for the Jews of that day to have their head and their beard shaved. And by the way, the legs is a euphemism for, everything below the belt. All right? Total humiliation is what God is saying here. The Lord will shave with a razor your head, your beard, your legs. Now, on that day, a man may keep alive a heifer and a pair of sheep. Because of the abundance of milk produced, he will eat curds. For everyone that is left within the land will eat curds and honey. What this is saying is you won't be able to farm even. All you'll be able to do is keep your sheep, keep your goats. You won't be able to farm. It will come about in that day that every place where there used to be 1,000 vines valued at 1,000 shekels of silver will become briars and thorns. People will come there with bows and arrows because all the land will be briars and thorns. As for all the hills which used to be cultivated with the hoe, you will not go there for fear of briars and thorns. And they'll become a place for pasturing oxen and for sheep to trample. Ahaz had a choice. God gave him the choice. Operate in the fear of the Lord. Receive the prophet. Receive the prophecy. Let me say it a different way. Receive the man of God that God sends to you. Receive the word that he gives to you. And you'll be protected. And if you don't receive that word, Ahaz made a choice which ultimately brought the destruction of not only Israel, but Judah. The Assyrians came and destroyed Israel. Later, the Chaldeans came and destroyed Jerusalem and carried off the captives. And eventually, a remnant returned. Just as Isaiah's son had said, that was a representation. But it was through great trial. If we're going to operate in the fear of the Lord, it comes by faith. It comes by faith. By faith receiving who God sends. By faith receiving the words that they give. And by faith receiving the promise, receiving God's protection. May not be easy, but if you operate in faith, you'll receive his protection. If you don't, he'll lift that protection. And all that's left is the destruction. We're going to keep moving through Isaiah. Next week, it talks more about the fear of the Lord. That's why I know I'm on the right track in Isaiah 8. Because I want us, I'm going to finish up where I started. I want us to walk in the full, sevenfold manifestation of the Spirit of the Most High God. I want us to walk in the wisdom and the understanding and the counsel and the power, the might. God's not going to give the counsel and the power to those who cannot wield it. That would be foolishness. And I want us to walk in the knowledge, in the fear of the Lord, so that we're operating fully in the power that that God wants us to have, the anointing that God wants us to have. That sevenfold Spirit is what was on Jesus when he was on the earth and still is, and what he wants to give to his body. But we have to be ready to receive it. And I believe it really starts with the fear of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord, help us. Lord, we don't want to be Ahaz, but we want to operate in the fear of the Lord. We want to operate in the reverence. We want to see the holiness. Lord, I ask that you would come and that you would show each one of us how we have in any way not operated in the fear of the Lord. In any way that we have shunned you, shunned your Spirit. In any way that we have shunned your word, your scripture, that we have broken it, that we have said, no, that doesn't apply to me. In any way, Lord, that we have disgraced you or thumbed our nose at you. Show us by your Spirit. For we know Jesus said that blasphemy can come against the Son of Man, it can be forgiven. But blasphemy against the Spirit, it won't be forgiven. Lord, we don't want to in any way insult the Spirit of holiness. So show us, Lord. Lord, as we're about to take of the table of the Lord this morning, I pray that you will reveal any sin to us that we need to get right before you, before we come to your table. We know that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin, but we also know that if we are operating in sin, that there is a break in our relationship. So Lord, show us where we need to ask forgiveness. Show us where we've offended your holiness. And even as Isaiah did, said, I am a man of I have unclean lips, and I'm a man of a people of unclean lips. He knew. Lord, show us that we can do the same. Say, Lord, I'm unclean in this area. Cleanse me. I have unclean hands, or I've got unclean lips. I've got unclean thoughts. I've got unclean eyes. I've got unclean feet. Whatever it may be, an unclean heart, show us. that we might be cleansed in your presence. Lord, I pray that everyone in here will be confronted by that this week. I believe it was Augustine that talked about the hound of heaven chasing after us. Be the hound of heaven for each person this week to chase after us to get our lives right with you. Don't leave any of us alone, just as David prayed. Lord, don't take your spirit from us, but continue to convict and bring us to a full restoration in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.